This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. Week 5 in the National Football League gets started tonight. An AFC clash we will preview. There is Dan Snyder scuttlebutt news abound. Eric Flack, an Emmy Award winner for his journalistic reporting at Channel 9 in town, is going to stop by. Looking forward to talking to him. Right at the top of the hour in 60 minutes at 3. Daniel, how are you?
I'm better now. We got a good show for you, and we'll get to it here in a moment. But I got to lead off here, like Ricky Henderson in his prime, a little story. So I got my stitches out this morning, right, of my busted up thumb. If you missed the story, that's not really that important. I cut it while taking a shower. I closed the shower door, a bunch of glass everywhere. This was really bad. I got a bunch of stitches when I was on my friend's trip. Not important. Here's what happened. I go in. I get there a little bit early. I do some walking, right? All good. Got some steps in, cardio, the whole nine yards. I'm doing this intermittent fasting bit, which I didn't even think about, right? Which is where you try not to eat, basically, because eating makes me fat, so I don't eat for a little while. I didn't even think twice. I felt fine. I'd already walked, had my coffee, had my water. So I go in, sit down for my little session, right? Doctor's doing what she's supposed to do. She's being very kind, and I explain, like, yeah, I'm a little bit squeamish. This is not my favorite deal, you know, to have, like, giant slices in my body. This isn't that much fun for me. I'm going to kind of look away if you don't mind. I'm kind of a wussy. And so she's like, no problem. And she's, again, very kind and very sweet and as she gets to work. So there's a number of stitches on my thumb, and it's not comfortable. I don't know if you've ever had this procedure done to you, but she's got to use scissors, and there's going to be some tugging at the stitches. It's a very sensitive area, as you can imagine, because it gets sliced open. So while that's happening, I'm in pain, but it's not outrageous.
Level of pain 1 to 10.
10 was when I fractured my ribs after the sneeze, which I've mentioned on the show before. This was a 5.5 or 6.
Okay.
So it's unpleasant, but it's going to be over soon, whatever. And so I notice all of a sudden, the room is hot. I notice all of a sudden, I'm sweating. I don't mean normal Danny sweating, where I just sort of, I'll sweat during the show. I sweat doing everything. I sweat when I'm cold, sweat when I'm hot. Just I sweat. I'm a big, sweaty, disgusting mess that no one likes.
You've been known to sweat.
This is now I'm pouring sweat. Like that, you know, that Key and Peele gif that everybody uses, right? When he's like nervous on the sideline. I'm doing that. The next thing I know, she's not working on my thumb anymore. She's face to face with me, helping my shoulders to stay back. And I realize she's talking to me in a very earnest way. We all have to wear masks inside the medical office. And she's going, I need you to keep your head back. I need you to keep your head back. Keep your shoulders up. I'm going to leave you for 1 second. Don't do anything. If you need help, call me. And I'm going, me? Why is she talking to me like this? We're here for my thumb. And I hear myself out loud. I literally sound like the serial killer on Blackbird. If you haven't watched the show, it's on Apple TV. It's great. I don't sound like this, but I go, why am I there? What's wrong with me? Like, that's not my voice. What's coming out of my face? She steps out in the hallway and goes, I need someone now. Yells down the hallway. And I go, who's that for? Because I'm here to get my thumb done. I'm hearing this all happen. And then I realize my vision's a little bit cloudy. I can't see to my right. I can't see to my left. And everything's kind of closing a little bit. Right? My eyes are open, or so I think. Then she's right back with me. Keep your head back. Do you want some juice? My response. Again, I'm sort of doing this, but I'm not doing it, if that makes any sense. My response. I shouldn't have any juice. I'm keto. There's too much sugar. Is what I say.
Are you keto?
I'm going to try. You know, sugar and carbs are bad for me. It makes me fat, but whatever. And because my plan is I'm going to go home and eat breakfast, and soon I'm done with this little thumb thing. My thumb hurts, by the way. Half the stitches are in, half are out, bleeding. And she's like, I understand, I get it, but I need you to drink some juice for me. I go, okay. Extra person comes into the room, is grabbing my right hand, and I'm shaking it like, nice to meet you, I'm Danny. And they're like, you know, patting my hand, like telling me it's fine.
Are you on drugs?
Nope.
So you weren't sedated or anything?
Nope. She gets me some juice. Doctor gets me some juice. She's like, I need you to drink all the juice, okay? Okay. I drink for what feels like an hour. I've consumed maybe a quarter of an ounce, like a little bird, you know, like feeding for the day. She's like, I need you to drink all the juice. So now they're helping me drink juice, and I feel like I'm swimming. I realized this probably isn't right. Like, this isn't going well. So after several minutes of this, like, intervention, I'm now, like, conscious enough where she can go back and finish working on my thumb, which is still in pain. It still sucks. People underrate how arduous this is. Like, the dealing with stitches and stuff.
I can't believe this was such a big deal. I feel like people get stitches out every hour of every day.
That's what I thought.
Children are getting stitches out as we speak.
And when I express concern to people in my life, you know, I get focused on things and get very worried. I express concern to my wife, and I was met with the, you'll be fine. Okay. I suppose I will be. Doesn't seem so in this case now, does it, miss? So I'm sitting there, very uncomfortable. This keeps hurting, but that is actually like, I'm now like, she's like, you're white. You seem like your face is really white. Like, she's like, continue to talk to me. Like, one, the person that's now shaking my hands going, I need you to stay with me. Like, what is this, like Chicago Hope? Like, what are we doing? Is this an episode of ER?
Are you dying?
What is it Grey's Anatomy type stuff here? What is happening? And so I'm like, okay, I'm here. Thanks. You know, like just muttering, saying weird things. So she finishes my thumb, and I start to kind of like, I don't want to say I come out of it, but they're like, okay, we need you to stay here. And I'm like, no, it's time to go. So they walk me to the lobby, and I have to stay for half an hour and drink two more juices before they'll allow me legally or whatever it is to leave. I have to do a runway walk in front of the various employees there to judge my fitness to be able to get behind the wheel and drive away.
So is the gist of all of this that you got lightheaded?
Now, when you say it like that, it's the most dismissive.
Did you get
a little lightheaded, guy? Is that what happened?
No. If it came off that way, that was not my intention.
What
you
happened?
You didn't pass out.
I didn't totally pass out.
You didn't fall on the ground. So it sounds like this is a case of being lightheaded.
Right. I've been lightheaded. Many times, I would say. I'm not special in that regard.
Right. I get lightheaded probably twice a day.
Yeah, it'll happen where I've been sitting down for a long time. I stand up too quickly. I've been lightheaded. This wasn't lightheaded. This was doctor yelling in your face and one person going, I need you to stay with me. Like to assist.
Because they didn't want you to pass out.
Well, right.
But did it have anything to do with losing blood, or was it? It had a combination of you haven't eaten yet.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone and given blood before, and they're always like, have you eaten? And if you stand up, you could be lightheaded, and then they have little snacks there, and they'll give you crackers, and you sit down, and then you go home. It's pretty much that, right? Or no? Is there more to it?
I would say this was a little bit more involved. The like, okay, did you eat this morning? Do you want a graham cracker? Do you want some orange juice? This was more, I need someone down here now, medical emergency. This fat idiot is going to collapse and I can't hold him up.
I mean,
it was closer to that.
It's immensely embarrassing
for
a grown man.
The amount of shame. And I, at one point, I'm sitting there.
Which I'm not joning, because this could happen to me any day. This could happen to me tomorrow.
Well,
it wouldn't surprise me.
And at one point, I do remember part of the conversation that's going back and forth between me and this very sweet doctor shouldn't have had to deal with this. This should have been a 10 a.m. to a 10:06 a.m. She could probably get a coffee before next appointment.
She was pulling stitches out of like six toddlers right before you, and then you came in and all hell broke.
Far more serious things will come across her desk today, tomorrow, and beyond. And somehow I made it like the event of the morning.
Your son's getting his stitches out of his thumb right before you without issue. Now you're in their seat.
At one point in my weird voice, again, this is my voice, this is how I sound. At that moment, I sounded like, please don't tell my wife and children. Because like how embarrassed I was.
I don't understand why your voice was like that.
I'm sure I do. I can't tell you. Maybe it's because I had that Blackbird show in my head, and I was doing the bit
maybe
where I sound like Stingray. Larry Hall?
You were doing the impression of Larry Hall.
I definitely wasn't.
Are you liking the show, by the way?
It's so good.
Isn't it fantastic?
It's excellent. I'm telling you right now, that's not how my voice sounds. That's not what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to have any of these responses, but they just sort of happened.
How far into the show are you?
Finished Epi 4 last night.
Oh, you're rolling.
Yeah.
You're in a good place.
Yeah, yeah.
Next episode, there's some scenes.
I bet you there's some business to attend to.
There are a couple things coming. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, it's all good. I'm totally fine now.
Were you physically scared or more just emotionally scarred because you were embarrassed?
I'm not going to... it's you and me in a room, but also people listening to the show, so it's not really that private. I will tell you, I was legitimately scared. That shakes you.
That's terrifying.
It shakes you when a medical professional that only moments before was playing down all the things. Like, oh, you big baby, it'll be fine. Like, this whole thing is so routine. This is the most mundane thing I'll do today. It's a pair of scissors and some tweezers, guy. Like, nobody's removing anything. Like, you'll be fine.
Can you not look at, like, them putting a needle into your
arm?
Can't
do it.
So you're that guy.
Yeah. No, we have layers of skin, and puncturing skin is bad.
So do you give blood voluntarily?
I have. I don't love doing that.
Okay.
I don't love having blood come out of me. That's not awesome. That's terrifying for me.
I'm not judging.
I'm just
not
answering.
Angry at you.
So it goes from that to she's like shaking me. Like if this was like the 1950s, like the guy would have like slapped me like, get a hold of yourself, you broad. Like I would have been, you know, to go from very complacent or very calm and very relaxed to shouting for help down the hallway is pretty jarring for a wussy like myself. That's number one. And then number two, the shame, the embarrassment and shame that this happened to me. Like, again, 43-year-old man, I'm going to swing by and get my stitches out. No, I'm going to be in that medical office for an hour because I almost fell out.
Do you have to go back there at any point for doctor's appointments or anything?
Yes, I have follow-up action items.
That's tough.
That I have to take.
As long as I never had to go back, I would leave there. I would
just never find the new primary care.
Go bury my sorrows in a quarter pounder and never think about it again. But you got to go back.
Don't tell my wife and kids.
So tough.
Weird.
We got a nice little show planned for you today. 2:45, our NFL power rankings, the top five teams in football. We'll see if my top five and Danny's top five look any different. I mentioned Eric Flack on what's going on with Dan Snyder at 3 o'clock. And make note of this. This is very, very important today. I mean, there are a couple of things that are important. We're giving away Caps tickets at 4 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. Someone's going to opening night with a buddy. Got to be listening at 4 o'clock this evening. We've also got blitzing the NFC East at 5 o'clock. But I personally, could be wrong, but this is just my opinion. I personally think the most important thing you got to know today about the show is that live on the air, we will be filling out Ryan's paperwork.
Yep.
His audition paperwork for Love is Blind.
For Love is Ryan. We're going to make it so.
Love is Ryan. We're rooting for him. We think he's got a real chance to be chosen by Netflix to go into the pods, find love, and maybe, just maybe, on the other side, be a married man.
Again, I want everyone to keep that in mind. We're actually signing Ryan up to get married to someone he hasn't met yet on television. This is just something he's like, yep, I'm in. I'm ready for love, is what he said.
He's ready for marriage.
He's ready for it.
So we will fill out the paperwork on the radio. A lot of questions he's got to answer coming up at 3:25 here on G&D. All right, let's start here, though. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this at 800-636-1067. Washington plays Tennessee. They're a 2.5-point dog opening line. FedEx Field on Sunday. Titans coming to town. Rare matchup. We're there in Landover, Maryland. We'll get into the possibility of a win and how that could save their season later in the show or tomorrow. But if they lose this game with things spiraling poorly now, it will be 4 straight losses. They'd be 1-4. They will not have taken advantage of a pretty fortuitous schedule to begin the season. And they'll be officially at that point free-falling. Only benefit being a very short week, but your short week on the road, Thursday night football, not ideal. You do have the safety net that is the Chicago Bears, who are not particularly good. But if they're 1-4 and they lose to the Titans, what does that mean? What would that signify to you? And if they lose, should anything be done? I mean big picture. Should there be a change? Should there be a any kind of tweaks to how they're going about their business? Should someone pay the price, or do you just look at it as, it's five games, let's calm down, channel philosopher Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, everybody relax, they were 2-6 last season, they ripped off 4 in a row to get to 6-6, let's give Ron Rivera a chance to do the Rivera thing, where his teams always start terribly, and improve and get better. That's happened each of the 2 years he's been here. So why don't we start with your answer, Danny? If they lose to the Titans on Sunday and they're 1-4, then?
Twofold answer. Business and football. The business people, what the hell are you going to sell? They're trying so hard to get everybody in on this new thing, right? They want everyone to know how different they are than the past. Even the angry letter referenced or that Dan Snyder's attorney sent to the House Oversight Committee. Everybody wants to tell you about the new culture, the new. Everything is different now. We're different. This isn't different. This feels like the same. I have empathy for people that are trying to sell this, right? With the expression lipstick on a pig, this is worse than that. It's lipstick on a serial axe murderer. There's nothing that you can sell when you get off to this kind of a start. You said this, you brought this up in the offseason, and it's been ringing in my head ever since. This is the most important start to a season that Snyder and company have ever had. With everything swirling, and there is everything, and there is lots of stuff swirling, the football part of it can't be a disaster. If you're 1-4, what does that mean? The football part is a disaster. Especially if it's like the last couple games have been, where you're not competitive, you're not close. It's one thing to lose 23-21, back and forth, anybody's game. Oh, you could have had that one. You go, we'll play better as the season goes and Wentz gets more comfortable. It's different where 10 of the last 12 quarters have been bottom of the league stuff. I don't mean like 23rd, I mean 31st or 32nd. They've been as bad as anybody 10 of their last 12 quarters. That matters an awful lot. From the football perspective, it's a, despite the assurances and despite the belief that they've got it, they don't have it, a.k.a. Ron, the Martys, coaching staff, etc. This is adjustment time. Not last year where it took you 7-8 games to do it. Right now, this minute. If you'd like to have a relevant season, not one where maybe if you eke out a couple W's, 17-15, running the ball, punting a lot, maybe you can be the 7th wild card or whatever it is. No. That's not what we were told. That wasn't the promise of this year. It means that they simply don't have the answer in the bag. If they do, they'll go to it this week and it'll be different. If they don't, we can rest assured that they don't have the solutions.
There are a bunch of different ways to say must win. You know, you hear people sometimes will say season's on the line, or a lot of people around here will use the old code red phrase because of the Jay Gruden lexicon in years past when he said that before the Tampa Bay, you like that game. I have labeled this game a gotta have it game. And for me, a gotta-have-it game, I don't think I need to explain that too much. There's just no way around it.
Yep.
You need this one. If you don't win, your season is officially off the rails. And if you don't win, even when and if you beat Chicago, which is not a gimme, by the way. There's no such thing for this team as a gimme. We know that. I think they'll beat the Bears because the Bears are really bad. But they're also, at that point, 1-4 and really bad. And Chicago would be going into that game with a better record, by the way. But you have to win on Sunday to salvage the first half of this season, to make it look like you've got a chance to do something important in the second half of the year. So it's a gotta-have-it game for sure for me. It's code red, it's must-win, whatever you want to call it. But the question is, what if they lose on Sunday at home against the Titans? They're not favored, so it could absolutely happen. And my answer to that is, I bet you they don't do anything major in the way of, they're not benching Carson Wentz. I don't think Del Rio's on the hot seat right now. A couple of weeks ago he was. The defense has been much better the last 2 weeks. Their offense is dead last in yards per play. That's the side of the ball over the last 2 weeks that really should be called into question.
Disastrous.
But Scott Turner signed an extension this offseason. They're not moving on from him before or after the Bears game, in my opinion. So what major change is there? What I think would happen, Danny, is similar to a year ago. People forget this. It was around now-ish that he fired the kicker, if you remember.
Yes.
When things were kind of coming apart at the seams.
The Chris Blewett saga.
Exactly. Everyone wanted their bit, you know, their pound of flesh. Everyone wanted something. They needed Ron Rivera to do something. I remember we had the same frustrations. Where is the urgency? Where is the anger? Why is he so calm? You can't just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So their big answer was Dustin Hopkins had gotten off to a slow start. They blew him out. Brought in Chris Blewett, who subsequently costed them a game and was way worse than Dustin Hopkins, and it was a complete miscalculation before they eventually settled on Joey Sly. What does that materialize as this year? I'm not really sure. You know, you pick a scapegoat. Maybe William Jackson doesn't play or start, and Benjamin St. Juice moves outside. Problem with that is they've mismanaged the roster, so they don't have another nickel.
I was going to say, what's the answer?
You don't have anyone who can play inside. Maybe just because Jamin Davis has been the poster child for their ability to call anyone out, you know, maybe even though I think he's playing better, you know, he plays a lot less. He's the guy they throw to the Wolves. I'm not really sure, but I think it'll be some type of rearranging of the deck chairs on a sinking ship, basically, and a minor move or two, schematic or otherwise, someone getting a little less play time on the side of the ball will happen. But I don't think anything major would take place, and certainly not on a short week before the Bears. But any changes that would come would happen after that Bears game when you have the semi-bye week, basically, of a week and a half.
A little bit more time to fold something in.
But even then, I don't think they're doing anything massive. But I wonder if people agree with that or not. And we can open up the phones on this next at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067 is the number here on Grant and Danny. Do you guys think a loss this weekend forces Rivera's hand to the point where he makes some type of change? And how big of a change would that need to be? What could you see them doing differently if they fall to 1-4? Or do you think he just kind of pushes forward in status quo? G&D on the Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open for you at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What happens if the Commanders lose on Sunday? What type of changes could be coming to the club? We're going to be talking with Eric Flack of WUSA-TV9 in town, one of their investigative reporters who's covering everything going on with Dan Snyder. I mean, there is some thought that maybe they'd change quarterbacks. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I don't see that at all.
I don't either.
I think what's more interesting is the conversation about the coordinator roles. But while the seat under Jack Del Rio's butt was hot enough to burn his tuchus a couple weeks ago, they've actually played pretty well on that side of the ball the last 2 weeks.
Given what the expectations were, they've been above those.
The line
right?
against the Eagles misleading. In that, you know, everyone will say, oh, you gave up 24 points to Philly. And the Eagles kind of took their foot off the gas pedal. But the numbers were fond to Washington. And then this week, I actually thought they were terrific for most of that game defensively. You can't be better against the run than they've been over the last 2 weeks against two teams that are pretty good at running the football. They're going to get their best test of the season with Derrick Henry coming off 114 yards and a touchdown against the Colts. But Jack Del Rio's not in trouble right now. I mean, again, that side of the ball through four games now is higher rated in most categories than their offense, believe it or not.
That's right. And again, the expectation, that's what it's all about. When you exceed expectation, people don't get mad. When you're way below what we were all promised and what we thought, and it's been particularly galling, frankly, for the offensive side of the ball, that's where the questions are. But we already talked about this. Scott Turner signed an extension this past offseason. So I don't know how ironclad that is. I don't know what the totals would be. But a major adjustment or change or something has to be very different starting really, really soon for them. Last year, it took 8 games for them to kind of figure out maybe we're better off doing this. That's adorable. Thanks for making that change weeks and weeks and weeks too late. Right? And last year, it was more Jack Del Rio just saying, oh, we'll just rush 4 guys and the defensive line is good enough and we'll just sort of do that. They finally changed Landon Collins, Buffalo Nickel, more blitzing, just you know what the difference was, you know what it looked like. Offensively, now it's Turner's turn. You can't do this in this NFL. A, your defense ain't good enough. It's not the 85 Bears, or 2000 Ravens, or you know, 2013 Seahawks. You need something to generate points early, long possessions, converted passes, your quarterback not getting hit a million times. There's got to be a change, and it's got to start right now, this minute, this week. And if you don't, when are you? When are you going to do it?
Yeah, so I'm sitting there watching early against the Cowboys, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you can't run this, you can't run that, don't run this, don't run that. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. No. how many built-in you can't do this and that type excuses do you get? Like, there's 32 teams in this league. Any given week, 7 to 8 of them are super banged up, right? I mean, you're going to have a few teams that are in offensive line turmoil that are without 2 or 3 players up front. A couple of guards are down, and they're on to their third guy. You really can't afford to just throw your entire playbook away. And if really and truly you can't do pages 27 through 96 because your center is down and now you're on to your third center because you don't trust your guard that you brought in and thought was going to be good anyway, then nothing else really matters. The whole thing is
it's kaput,
rotten as it is. So I think we need to be realistic for sure. I'm not saying not to be. But to take out some of the excuses of, well, listen, it's just hard. They're dead last, man.
Yeah.
If you're 18th, I'm fine with that, right? If you're 22nd, I can figure that out. Hey, maybe you'd be 14th if you had everyone. Right now, they're averaging 4.61 yards per play. It just can't be this bad. And even by the standard of me being willing, and I think a lot of people being willing to give them the benefit of some doubt while they're working through some things on the offense, you're changing out the guard position. And I don't give them a pass as an organization because they chose these players.
Yes.
But as a coordinator, you got a lot of moving parts, whatever. You're dead last right now. There are 32 guys calling plays. There's 32 guys drawing stuff up. There's 32 people that are scheming. And no one's averaging more yards per the play that they call into the helmet than you are right now. And it's not like there's a whole lot to fall back on either, Danny. We talk about this a lot. I'm a track record guy. So I'm very much willing to give the benefit of the doubt if someone's struggling. Like if Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay or Josh McDaniels or some guy with a great track record calling plays, Andy Reid, if their offense is 32nd, you go, look, they got a whole bunch of years and pelts on the wall that they did this pretty well. They'll figure this out. And if it's not this year, it was a down year.
When Aaron Rodgers says relax, it goes somewhere. It matters.
If you look at last year, Washington had its best year, and they were 21st in offense. They made some strides. In 2020, we talked about this on Monday, they were 31st in yards per play.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 of the 3 years now, they have been sub-5 yards per play. Hasn't happened since the early 2000s around here. In 2 of the 3 years, they've been one of the 2 worst teams in the league at moving the football. Can't do that.
Here's the thing that I can't have when it comes to it. What you just said reminded me of this. I can't have our expectations lowered. It happens way too often with this team and with this organization. I don't think it's unique to Washington, by the way, but it happens a lot here. Take Chase Young, for example. We went from generational, once-in-a-lifetime, can't pass on to, well, he makes an impact sometimes even when he's not sacking the quarterback. No. Jamin Davis was supposed to be Luke Kuechly 2.0. No. Not a guy that now plays off the ball and is making some tackles, and he's playing better, so that means it was right. No. As it applies to Carson Wentz. What was the point of Wentz? Remember, everybody? The whole playbook's going to be open now. Now we'll get to see. You can't tell me that. I'm sorry the center went down. That's harder. Yes, it is. You can't just shut it down because some offensive linemen got hurt. They don't shut it down in markets where the quarterback's good. You know what I mean? They don't just stop calling passes. The idea that, I'm not saying you have to be number one offense in the sport. But the whole point of getting Carson Wentz, this big play machine, this guy could sling it down the field, and the whole reason to waste the draft picks and spend all the money that you were doing is because now we're going to see. This is what's going to be all open to us. And now it's, well, maybe we need to run the ball more. Let's run it 60% of the time in the first half against Dallas and have him just check it down to the flat quickly. Maybe let's do that.
I think that was more of a matchup thing because of the defensive front for Dallas coming off of the most pressures in a game in 5 years, and Washington's line coming off of 9 sacks. But Rivera on Monday after that game, see, I thought it was a one-off, like, hey, let's just make sure we get
That's
out of this game alive. Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, this is a different kind of group. These dudes were sent to this planet to get after the QB. He went back to last year when they had their little 4-game winning streak when they scored 17 and won 17-15 a couple times, and he said, you know, look at the formula last year, guys. When we run the ball a lot, we win. That's our best way forward. You are lowering the apex of this offense if that's how you're going to operate. Now, if it helps you to survive right now because otherwise you're going to get him crushed and he's going to get hurt, fine. But just realize that whatever you thought the upside was with this guy, You could have had Mitch Trubisky. You could have had Tyrod Taylor if you were going to do it that way.
If that's what you wanted, yeah.
But where we've always disagreed, just for the record, is like when you say, and I think it was rhetorical, like, why did you go get this guy? My point is, if he's the best they've had since Cousins, it was worth it. If it's sustainable moving forward. In other words, multiple years where he's 4,000 yards and close to 30 touchdowns, and you just have a serviceable NFL quarterback again, putting up, you started 17 games in the NFL in the 2020s. You get to throw for 3,800 yards and 23 touchdowns, and anything over that means, you know, you made some plays. I kind of think that was good enough for me, and I know for a lot of people that's not the case. But right now, last 2 weeks, you got to improve to get there. Let's go to Charles in the DMV on Grant and Danny. Charles, how are you?
I'm doing great, y'all. How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Listen, last week, people crammed to understand that penalties what was really what took the Commanders out of that game. Dallas has a great defense, yeah. The Commanders' defense played well also last week, but they gave up a couple of penalties. I think number three got a couple of pass interference penalties that
Jackson.
Were critical.
He certainly did.
Yes, he did.
Right. Now, here's the thing. I got the next 2 weeks I have y'all winning. So I can't answer the question, what if y'all don't win? I got y'all going on a two-game winning streak, and I think y'all have enough to do that. But here's the problem that lies.
Who are you a fan of? Why are you saying you all?
Because I'm a Dallas fan, but okay. I'm a football fan first. I love Dexter Manley. I love B. Mitch. I'm a football guy.
I appreciate that about you.
Thank you
very much. It is sad, though, that the first call we get today is from a Dallas fan telling us everything's going to be okay.
He just likes football, so he called us up. I mean, here's the thing.
There's no Washington fan saying, hey, this is what I think.
But I also love football so much.
The first guy on hold today was a Dallas fan to say, to pat us on the head and tell us everything's going to be fine.
Again, that's what my first point this morning about, hey, what's on the line here? It wasn't a football thing. It was a winning the hearts and minds thing.
I'm sure everything is fine.
Yeah, everyone should be so panicked.
By the way, 11 penalties this past week for 136 yards.
Not because you were in advantageous positions. You know what I mean? You don't hold because everything's going great.
Several of those were offensive penalties that put them behind the sticks in a debilitating and crippling way. We talked about having 3rd and 27 on consecutive snaps. It's not snaps, rather. I apologize. Drives. But on consecutive drives, they had 3rd and 27s. That happens because you go sack into a holding penalty, into a false start.
Mix in a procedure penalty, the Ryan Grant play.
If they lose this weekend, then what? That is the question. 800-636-1067. We'll try to squeeze in a couple more on that. But next, our top five NFL teams will juxtapose our power rankings at the top of the board on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. NFL power rankings every Wednesday on G&D. Let's get to it. We'll rank our top five teams in football. We can see where we differ. We'll go 1 to 5 because I actually think the intrigue's probably lower down the board. Right now, my number one team, Danny, is the Buffalo Bills. I understand that Buffalo lost to Miami, and they were down 20-3 at the hands of the Ravens, but they got back in that game and won it against a good Baltimore team that could show up in anybody's top five. Josh Allen, I think, wins the MVP award. They've got a great defense that gets after the quarterback. Give me the Bills, number one on my power rankings.
Echo that, plus the best point differential in the sport, even with that loss that you mentioned. It's a group that can do anything, and their ceiling is still the highest, even with that blemish. Number two for me, this might be a bit of a hot take because they had a weird loss on their ledger as well, but give me the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody's got a higher ceiling, maybe save the Bills, than this group. Offensively, they don't miss Tyreek Hill somehow. It's unbelievable how good they are. And really, it's about this defense making some plays. They're built kind of like a better version of all those Peyton Manning Colts teams where they've got weapons on offense and a couple pass rushers on defense, and that's how we're going to go about this thing. They're letting up a decent number of points, almost 100 here through 4 weeks, but they've been able to turn you over, make some big plays on both sides of the ball. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs, number two.
10 days from right now, the Bills and the Chiefs play at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City.
Must see.
Next Sunday, that'll be fantastic. The Bills, by the way, host the Steelers, and Kenny Pickett making his first start this weekend, Sunday at 1 o'clock in Buffalo. I've got the Eagles number two on my big board. I mean, how can you not, at this point, put them near the top of the list? They are the only undefeated team in football. They're 4-0. They are plus 44 in net points. No one else in the conference is over plus 25, and in fact, only one other team in the conference is over plus 14. Philly's been dominant. They're 2-0 at home. They're 2-0 on the road. They're 3-0 out of their division. They have been awesome. Jalen Hurts is playing splendidly right now. In fact, he's an MVP candidate. I think it'll be Josh Allen in the end, but season ended right now. I think Jalen Hurts would be very much in the conversation, might win the thing. So I got the Eagles, too, and for the reasons you mentioned, I'll put the Chiefs third on my big board.
I just flipped those. I don't have a great reason, but in my gut, I felt like if the Eagles and Chiefs played this weekend, I think the Chiefs would win. So that not necessarily reflects the resume because the Chiefs have a terrible loss against the Colts on their resume. And the Eagles, as you said, have beaten all comers. So they are number three for me. Number four, it's not sexy. It's not even that much fun to watch, to be honest with you. But the Green Bay Packers, all they've done is do their normal drop the first game of the year where they don't look like a football team. And then slowly but surely just, you know, squeeze the life out of people as they're on their way to 13 wins yet again. Defensively, they are very good. Just enough on offense. I expect that offensive group to improve as the season progresses because it's Aaron Rodgers and he gets people up to speed. But right now they're number four. This is where I start to feel, I guess they're number four.
Ravens number four for me. I'm going with my MVPs at quarterback, basically. Putting them right at the top.
Smell
of the
what you're
list.
Cooking there, yeah.
The Ravens lost to the Bills this past week. They play that game again. They probably win it. Now, they should have because it was in the rain. It was kind of ideal for them, and they still didn't. And they're 2-2. They've lost twice this season, but that Bills game, I think they had them dead to rights. And if I could channel my inner Denny Green, let them off the hook. But the Ravens, opportunistic defensively, explosive offensively. How are you going to defend Lamar Jackson? They're number four for me.
They are my number five team, GP. So I had them right there at number four, but I went, well, they lost twice. They're the same team that got commanding leads in both of their losses, and it's fluky that they lost to the Bills when they were up 23. It's even flukier that they lost to the Dolphins when they were up by, I think, 20 points or even more. They're the same team that was able to do both of those things. I like that versatile offensive attack. Rashad Bateman's kind of coming into his own a little bit. If they get just enough at receiver, it could be really tough. I just have so many questions about their defense. I don't trust that group.
I've got the Packers fifth. I probably shouldn't, right? They're not even first in their own division. They got beat by Minnesota. Both are 3-1. The Vikings have the tiebreaker, and then the Packers needed overtime to survive a third-string quarterback in New England this past week. But like you, it's Aaron Rodgers. They're coming into their own. They've won three in a row. They're only plus six in margin. I just think on a neutral site this weekend, they'd beat almost any team in football. You got a good coach. They've lost a lot on that staff, by the way. Their OC, their quarterback's coach, and you don't really notice it. They seem to be picking up where they left off last season after their week one debacle. So there you go, our top five teams in football. All right, I need a quick show meeting here. So, Darius, I'm going to plug you in on this. We went through the top fives. We had the same top five with a couple of things changed. Just feels like a terrible segment to me. I'll be honest. I mean, is this worth doing really every week to rank our top fives when basically we have the same top fives and they're almost in the same order?
I was surprised we had the same teams. I thought you were going to have quibbles and be like, no, how could you put them there? But then we had the same group.
No,
so I guess it was an unfulfilling.
We didn't go off the board. Like, we picked a bunch of teams that are the highest odds pretty much to go to the Super Bowl right now. I mean, is it worth us doing this is the question. For 2 years, that segment ends, and I go, that was a waste of everyone's time. I mean, what do we think about this?
It is tough, especially early in the season when right now it's just picking favorites. No teams have really kind of set themselves apart from other teams. So yeah, I think this is tough to do early in the season. Maybe this is something where we do once a month or once every couple of weeks.
I have an idea. Danny's top five, my bottom five. Something Ooh. Like that. Or vice versa. One of us handles the top five teams in the league. The other handles the bottom five. It's just talking about the same teams. The people only have a few minutes every single day with their pals. I'm not trying to cheat them out of a good segment.
I smell what you're cooking.
Our top five and bottom five teams.
First of all, I like that. But I'm weird. I love ranking things. I love it. I want too. I want order. I want everyone to know who sucks. That's why I like the adding the bottom five part of it. I want everyone to know who's good. I want to argue about it. I love rankings. You got a power ranking on your blog? Send it to me. I want to read it. I love rankings. I also like talking about it, but I'm with you. And we were both like, I have Philadelphia. I have Kansas City. We just flipped them. And then it was boring. I'm with you.
And it's been that way for a long time. All right. So next week, just remind me of this, Darius. Top and bottom five teams in football.
Grant's best, Danny's worst. Done.
We will do that. Eric Flack's going to join us at the top of the hour. Covers the Dan Snyder saga for Channel 9 in town. There are developments we will get to next. And at 3:25, ladies especially, make sure you're listening. Love is Ryan. We will interview assistant producer Ryan Clary. We're going to run through the paperwork for Love is Blind on Netflix.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.